Well, joining us in the studio this morning is Frank Page from Coastal Dental Care. We've spoken to Frank a number of times in the past. Thanks for joining us again, Frank.
Good morning, Steve.
We have you in today, Frank, because today is World Oral Health Day. So who better to speak to?
Big day. It's better than Christmas, isn't it?
And coincidentally, Tara's just told us that it's also World Happiness Day. So
I don't know how that works, but anyway.
Everyone's always happy to go to the dentist,
absolutely,
aren't they?
Absolutely.
So you've got some a bit of a report card on the dental health of Australians.
Yeah, and it makes for interesting reading. So this is a report card put out by the Australian Dental Association in conjunction with the Australian Health Policy Collaboration. They really looked at sort of patterns of oral disease in Australia. And they looked at age groups in terms of children, so young children, and then sort of, I guess, adolescents and into adulthood. And I think the sort of... I guess the scariest part or the most sobering part is that, you know, tooth decay is probably the most common chronic disease in Australia for children. So, I mean, look, is it a disease? Well, it is. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's pleasant to have tooth decay. I don't think anybody enjoys it. And it's something that seems to be getting worse in the younger age group. And so we all got pretty good with our teeth. I think all our, if we look at our parents, grandparents and their grandparents, I mean, I think total tooth loss, which is dentures and no teeth at all, was fairly common. Mm. I think people just expected that to happen. And then we moved away from that. I mean, I think sort of, you know, I'm 46 and most of my generation had most of their teeth. And so our little group here is pretty good. And then the next group coming through now, the younger ones now are actually starting to get more holes again. Mm. And that's, I mean, there's lifestyle in that. I think we're all busier, especially in Western nations. There's both mum and dad work, which means at the end of the day, the last thing we want to do is get our little ones to, you know, it's a struggle. Mm. We've got to get home from work. We've got to, dinner's got to be prepared. Kids have to be bathed and homework has to be done. And there seems to be more and more of that. I don't know if you've, you know, the more children you have, the more homework you seem to have at home. And then at the end of that, you're supposed to, you know, do the toothbrushing and stuff. And by that stage, the kids are tired, grumpy, you're grumpy, you want to get them to bed. And that's where I think the problem starts. So if we look at the really young ones and certainly, I guess the babies, and so the 5 to 6 year olds, there's almost a third of them have actually got some kind of tooth decay. They've actually got holes. That's usually to do with what we call bottle caries, where, you know, you've got to get those kids to sleep. I mean, sleep is is king when you're a parent. And so, you know, you give a bottle, and in that bottle, what you put in that bottle is really important. Give them water, they don't seem to be that interested in it. But unfortunately, you've got to try to get them used to that, because if you give them juice, that's a real bad one. It's acidic and it's sugary. And then they go to sleep with it, which basically means their teeth aren't, you know, that sugar and the acid sits on the teeth overnight. Now, that really would destroy teeth very, very quickly. Or you give them milk, and milk has lactose. So people think, oh, I'll just give them milk. It's better. It is better. It's better than juice. But it still has lactose, which is a sugar, so you still can get decay as well. So the statistics are that, you know, tooth decay is about sort of 34% of 5 to 6 year olds have a hole. And then when you get to the 6 and 14 year olds, that seems to improve. So it's only about 23.5%. So what happens is you move away from the bottle, you're now getting solid foods. And so, you know, that seems to improve things dramatically already. So now we're sort of down about the 23% mark of kids having holes. But what it tells you is that once you move away from the bottle to solid foods, you know, there is an improvement. But we need to continue that improvement. That's sort of one in sort of four kids has got a hole. Mm. And it's difficult because there's parties, and every party you go to, there's, you know, got to go have a lolly bag, and the kids goes home. First of all, they have, you know, soft drinks at the party. And so they're all hyped up, and then they get a little bag and they get in the back of the car and they munch away on that. And then they take the bag and they put it in their room. And I look at my own kids' room. I mean, my kids are grown up now, but I'm still finding lolly bags from, you know, back in the day, where they empty, you know, lolly sort of packets at the bottom of their drawers because they used to hide it from us. So it's really important that when from an early age that there's brushing that occurs, and it has to occur really at night before they go to sleep. If we look at the numbers of kids that brush their teeth sort of at least twice a day, that's about 70% mark, which is pretty good. It's pretty good. It means parents, you know, well done. We'll get to the adults, you know, toothbrushing habits in a minute. But you know, as far as parents are concerned, we're all trying to do the right thing. We're getting our kids to brush their teeth. But kids aren't very good at brushing their teeth. If you get your 9-year-old to go and have a shower, and, you know, if your kids play football or any contact sport and they're rolling around the dirt and grass, I mean, I would get my children to go and have a shower. Yes, their chest would be full of soap, but the knees and the elbows, I mean, full of dirt. And so it's a little bit the same with toothbrushing. They don't really know what they're trying to do. You give them a toothbrush and go, oh, you know, just go around in a circle, blah, blah. Front four teeth get clean, but the back ones don't get cleaned that well. Mm. So really what we have to try to do as parents is to actually brush the kids' teeth first and then give them the toothbrush and go, you can do whatever you like after this. But at least I know I've got to the back ones and I've helped you out. So pretty much to the age of 9 or 10, we really need to be doing this, and it's not something that parents have got a lot of time for. So whether you do it at the start or at the end, give the kid the brush and say, right, you can start, I'll finish it off, or I'll start and you finish it off. Either way, but that works pretty well. Electric toothbrushes are also a good investment. If you know, the cost of dentistry, I mean, surprise, surprise people, it's not cheap in Australia. But it's preventable disease. Like you can prevent tooth decay. And what you need is a toothbrush and some toothpaste. Even the toothpaste is not as important. It's actually the toothbrush. You just get rid of this stuff. So if you get rid of the stuff that's on the teeth, you're not going to get holes. You won't get a big bill. So
just on the prevention, is it purely based on, you know, what you put in your mouth and also how well you brush your teeth? Is there any other reasons that people get tooth decay, like hereditary things, genetic things?
Of course there is. Yeah. Of course there is. But I guess that's a very small percentage of the population. And so whatever you do at home, the little bits that you do, that 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening, that's the important part, really. That makes the most difference. Mm. Now, there's some kids that will have no chance. I mean, from day one, they have very little enamel. And, you know, those kids, it's quite unfortunate. But we're talking about a very, very small percentage of the population. The 99.9% of the population have got teeth that are decent enough that should be okay. Yes, there's always genetic predisposition to issues, and that any health issue. So I'm just talking about really on average, you know what? Yeah. You give the kid you brush your kid's teeth twice a day, you're gonna see some difference. And then you've got to look at, you know, do they need to drink the whole can of Coca-Cola? You know, I mean, do they really? Like, no. You can give them a cup, they can share it. I'm not saying you will never have Coca-Cola, you'll never have any soft drink. You know what? I've got a 19-year-old now, 18 and 12, and they all love Coca-Cola. And to sort of say, no, you can't have it at all, that's really, really difficult. If you sort of say to a kid, you will not do this, that's really difficult. Most kids will actually say, no, I don't think so. I think I'll just go and I'll sneak that somehow. And then they'll go to their friend's place anyway and they'll have it. So really to me, it's like, okay, you can have this. It's a bit like anything. It's a bit like introducing your children to alcohol. I mean, I'm at that stage now with a 18, 19-year-old. It's like, okay, there's responsible amounts that you can have. It's the same thing with this. Mm. You can have sweets. I mean, it's not. I mean, we've got to be real. Like, chocolate's good. It's tastes nice. Ice cream is nice. That doesn't mean you will not have ice cream. You will not have soft drinks. That's draconian. You don't need to do that. But if you sort of say, look, there's a reasonable amount you can have, and this is a good amount, and then now you need to drink water because this is enough. Mm. I think that's probably a good policy to have as a parent. Don't say no altogether, because then you're going to have this huge battle. So you can share it with your brother or share it with your sister, or we'll have it together. I don't know. Like that, I think that's sort of probably more likely to be successful. So, you know, whatever happens as a child in terms of the bacteria that grow in your mouth as a child will be the bacteria that are likely to stay with you as an adult. So if you have a child that has tooth decay and lots of holes, guess what? You're going to have lots of holes as an adult. And
Even if it's in their baby teeth, which disappear anyway, it still has an impact.
Absolutely.
On,
yeah. So unfortunately, there is this misconception that, oh, well, it's only a baby tooth. Doesn't matter. We can just, you know, you'll lose it. Yes, you will lose it. But the bacteria don't just walk away out of the mouth. They sit and they just go, oh, look, there's a new tooth here. I'll jump on that next and I'll have a little munch of that. So what you do for your children will stay on with them as adults. And it's a habit as well. I mean, why do we have a shower at night? Because we've always done it. Because when we're babies, we got bathed. So at bath time, that's also should be brushing time. So you brush the teeth in the morning and in the evening. In the morning is just more for, you know, I guess fresh breath, what do you want to do? In the evening, it's really important, and it's easier in the evening because usually that is bath time. Well, after bath time, you actually brush the teeth, and it becomes part of the routine. And so then what happens as an adult that you're sort of used to that, and so it thinks, well, hang on, I don't feel clean if I don't do this. I mean, you don't want to go to bed and not have a shower. It's kind of like weird. Mm. You just don't do that. So it's the same thing with your teeth. If you do that, then, you know, it's a habit. And then once you develop that habit, it's a good habit. And so that's what we're trying to encourage, to get children on board. And in general, parents are doing really great. I mean, kids are actually brushing more than their parents are. Now, that might also be a reflection of the amount of time that the parents have. But if you're going to brush at night. I mean, if that is that's the moment. That's the moment where you want to sit there and go, okay, I'm going to spend a good 2 minutes, and 2 minutes, I really mean a good 2 minutes. And it may be longer than that. It's not like, oh, I'm going to try to finish this as quickly as I can. It's about thinking, okay, I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to run my tongue around my mouth and think, does that feel furry somewhere? If it's furry, people, that's plaque. It's really a soft material that, you know, the bacteria form on your teeth. And it's the root of tooth decay and of also gum disease. So children have more issues with tooth decay. Adults have more problems with really gum disease. And the old sort of expression, you know, we're getting long in the tooth. And that's what it is. It's because if you have plaque around the base of the teeth, you get gingivitis, which is inflammation of the gums. Now, 80% of the population has gingivitis. So we're talking to each other right now, and, you know, maybe one of us has got gingivitis. It may be me. But it just, you know, we're not going to be that good because, you know what, maybe last night I was tired and I sort of just, you know, had a brush, but it wasn't that great. But I need to pick that up in the morning. I need to pick that up all that night, the next night. But if I keep leaving it there, then an inflammation means I'm going to eventually affect the bone around the teeth, and my gums will recede a little bit. If the gums recede, it exposes the root part of the tooth or the teeth. And that means there's less protection for the teeth. So as we get older, we move away from having sort of decay on the sort of main surface of the teeth, but more towards like root decay. And we're living longer and longer and longer, people. And so guess what? We're starting to see a whole new generation now of new decay. So people throughout their whole life have not had much decay, but they're getting a little bit of gum recession. I mean, it's kind of just happens. I mean, I look at scans of myself, and I'm a dentist, so, you know, I do the right things. I have an electric toothbrush. I floss my teeth. And yeah, I'm getting old, so my gums are sort of not what they used to be. I have little spaces between my teeth now that I didn't used to have. So now I have to brush even better. But I know why, because over my lifetime, I've been good at brushing, and some days I wasn't as good at brushing, and it's a process. Unfortunately, you don't get better as you get older. It's pretty sad, isn't it? But every day, all we do with our teeth is just bash stuff, basically. So our teeth are sitting there munching every single day. If I get a hammer and I use my hammer on a nail every day, my hammer, after 30, 40, 50 years, is not going to look that great. So that's what's happening to our teeth as well. We get our adult teeth start at the age of 6, and we're living well into our 80s and beyond now. So, you know, find a pair of jeans, find a pair of shoes that's going to last that long. They don't. Mm. And yet we expect them to. So whatever we do as children, if we get holes, as, you know, once you get your adult teeth, on the 6-year-old onwards, once you get a hole, that means that restoration, you're going to get the filling, which eventually you're going to get, or the extraction, whatever you're going to get done. I mean, that will stay with you. Now, if it's a filling, you'll have a finite lifespan. It might be, I mean, these days it's pretty good. You should sort of get 15 years is kind of something that you'd expect. And I think in terms of, we used to have, I mean, we've changed away from amalgams. Amalgams served us very well for a long time, except they got mercury in them. I mean, these days there is no way that we would ever be able to have amalgam introduced as a new material. If we went to the TGA, which is Therapeutic Goods of Australia, and you said, hey, I've invented this new material, it's got mercury in it, and we stick it in people's mouths, I think they'd just laugh at you and say, I don't think so. But it's been around for a long time. It served us very well. I mean, I think we've moved beyond that. And so now we've moved to sort of the white fillings and the composites and even the little pieces of ceramic that we can make, then we can actually bond to teeth. So dentistry has moved a long way, but it lasts longer. But it still needs to, you know, it still has a finite lifespan. Mm. So if you get a filling, it'll become a bigger filling, and eventually that bigger filling will become an onlayer or crown. And or if you have a hole and you leave it, the hole just gets bigger. And it gets bigger and eventually gets to the nerve of your tooth, and then it's root canal treatment. And then the you know, your dentist goes, oh, wow, we've had root canal treatment, now you need a crown in your teeth. People go, oh, all too hard. Let's pull the tooth out. Start without the decay. Start without the hole. Or if you're going to get a hole, get a small filling done. And that's your warning. That's the shot over the bow saying, I'm getting holes here, which means that, that equilibrium between my saliva being able to buffer the effects of the acid and the foods in my mouth and the plaque in my mouth is no, now it's sort of tipped the scale the wrong way, which means I'm losing tooth structure. So don't give up. I mean, if you're getting holes, don't sort of go, oh, I just get holes. No. This is where you might need to work harder and it's difficult. So in terms to your listeners, any advice I can give, brush at night. Please brush at night. Like spend the time. I don't care if you're watching television, whatever it is, with your toothbrush. It'll annoy the people around you and your partners, but you know what? Just do it. And if you can afford to get an electric toothbrush, get one, because they do a better job. Mm-hmm. I mean, electric toothbrushes don't drink wine, and they don't have beers. And you just, all got to do is switch your brain off, turn the machine on to the little electric brush and go around your teeth. If you do that, I mean, it is a habit, something to change. And I don't know, Steve, do you have an electric toothbrush or a normal toothbrush?
I did a while ago, but I've gone back to the normal, the manual one.
Great. That's good for dentists. Keep going. So, look, and it does feel good to use a manual brush. I mean, you feel like, you know, you give that thing a good scrub. You don't need to. You don't need to scrub your teeth. You need to actually just remove plaque, and plaque is a soft material. So the advantage of a toothbrush is the brushes these days won't allow you to do damage to your gums. That's the thing as well. I mean, you can be too harsh with your brush. People, you know, they scrub and they can be too harsh with your teeth. So then you're actually getting wear of your teeth. Mm. So getting rid of enamel, which is not good either. You just want to be gentle, little circular movements sort of towards your gum line and do that regularly. Now, an electric toothbrush does that really, really well, because if you press it too hard, they usually, the brushes now will actually stop. They'll make a funny noise or do whatever. Mm. And I mean, electric toothbrush is almost an assault on the senses. You know, you get an electric toothbrush, if you've never used one, and you will get a shock, because all of a sudden this thing is just making a buzzing noise, and it's, you know, there's a lot of vibration. There seems to be a lot going on here, and you're not used to that.
Mm.
But I would say to you, look, you know, if you're trying to get to the very back molar, you know, on the inside or the outside of your jaw, it's really hard. And if you want to get just on the inside where your tongue is, it's also hard. Mm. So now I'm trying to teach my patients and dentists, you know, around the world, teaching their patients, go round and round, you know, it was towards the gums now, because we used to be away from the gums, but now we're towards the gums because everything changes and science progresses, and it's difficult to do. It's not easy. And if you're missing teeth as well, if your teeth are a bit crooked, that's also difficult. I mean, you know, a lot of money is being spent on orthodontics these days. Every kid has to have straight teeth.
Mm.
So I guess it's getting easier for the average kid out there now has got straight teeth than we certainly did. But it still requires effort. And that effort means it's a lot easier to teach young ones to do something than just teach adults to do something. Kids are great at learning a musical instrument. As an adult, try to learn how to play the piano. It's a lot harder.
So what's that report card? Is that a pretty bad report card for us?
Oh, look, the report card is the scary bit is the amount of sugar that the kids are having. So, you know, we sort of have 70% of kids between the age of 9 and 13 are having too much sugar. And 14 to 18-year-olds, it goes up to 73. So as they get older, I mean, it's not getting better. It's getting, you know, worse now. If we look at adults, interestingly enough, the biggest change that occurs is that about sort of 70% of kids are brushing their teeth regularly twice a day. It drops down to about 50% once we get over 18.
Wow.
So as soon as mum and dad are nagging us, then it's like, you know, I'm not going to be so good. We don't consume as much sugar, so that changes a little bit. But the problem is then we add alcohol to the mix. And so most of the alcohols are acidic, which means that lovely feeling that you get when you have your glass of, you know, white wine and you sort of grit your teeth a little bit and a little bit chalky, that's because they are. So, you know, adults will, you know, and I know a lot of my female patients say, oh, it's okay, I drink white wine. I'm like, well, that's great, because white wine is far more acidic than red wine. So it's like, oh, I'm better than my husband because his teeth are stained because he drinks red wine. So yeah, but you know what? He's actually not burning his teeth as much as you are. So maybe his teeth might be the wrong color, but at least there's a bit more enamel on them. So
and does that report just talk about adults 18 and plus, or does it go into, you know, like 50 plus? Or
no, it's sort of pretty much at this stage. Well, in terms of what it goes through in terms of 50 plus is that then diabetes and stuff come into the equation. So different disease a little bit from with adults. I mean, adults tend to then get gum disease, so getting long in the tooth. They tend to get oral cancers, so it's a bit, you know, it's a bit nasty. They tend to lose teeth as well. So that's the difference that happens, that people are not treated, and because they're not treating, and they're not treating their gums, or they're not treating their tooth decay, then it's a slightly different problems that they have. Once you start losing teeth, then you don't want to walk around with missing teeth, so you'll want to have something, some prosthesis, some description. If that's a denture, I mean, if we look at the entry line, there'll be a denture, there'll be a bridge, there'll be implants. So if you have a denture, the problem with it is that in itself, I mean, you've got now a foreign body sitting there. You've got a dark, warm, wet environment. It's great for bacteria, and that's just underneath your denture. So if you've got teeth and a denture, then you've got to be really careful. You've got to take the denture out. You've got to clean it, get rid of the plaque that's on it as well, and then brush your teeth afterwards, and then put it all back in. If you have a bridge, you need to clean underneath it, and you clean around it. And everybody's really great at brushing the tops of their teeth, but it's really, you can't. You never get decay there. I mean, there's very few people that, you, when they smile at you, you go, oh, wow, I can see holes on the front of their teeth. But that's where we all brush. Mm. So we don't get holes there. I mean, it's like a you cut a bread with a knife, the bread stays pretty clean because you're cutting. So the cutting actions, your incisors, will stay clean. We brush those things like crazy at the front. It's really the back ones you really got to worry about. So, you know, what we've got to be aware of is that we're brushing less as adults, and we need to brush more as adults. In terms of people getting dental checkups, you have a lot. Children have more dental checkups than adults do. And look, there's the school dentist. I mean, it's still around, so it means that about 70% of Australian children have seen a dentist in the last 12 months. When we go that to adults, about 50%. And look, there's a massive cost to going to the dentist. That's the problem. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Is there a solution? Well, at the moment, the Australian government spends about 2%. Of, or any governments, this is, you know, across Australia, spends about 2% of their budget on dental. So guess what? It's not going to improve. And I can't see how it's going to improve, because we have an aging population. It means that we are having, you know, it's more important to keep you alive than just to keep a tooth, in that sense. I mean, you know, it's sad, but that's what happens. So the priorities are, look, I've got heart disease, I've got cancer, I've got whatever. Well, that's going to cost a lot more to the government to keep you alive than it is to get a, you know, a tooth fix. So they look at that as a big ticket item and say, well, we're going to spend our money on that. You know, I see my dad's got cancer. I can tell you that a lot of money's been spent on him, and he's spending his own money as well on staying alive. So, you know, the dental is always going to be a poor cousin in that sense, because it is something that is preventable disease. So don't, you know, brush, floss, do all these things that, you know, dentists harp on about all the time, and you won't have tooth decay, and you will limit the effects of gum recession, etc. And the gum recession and gum disease is very genetically driven. I mean, there is a huge genetic factor between different individuals. I might have the same amount of plaque as you do, but you may have more recession, or I may have more recession. That I can't really control. So, but I can control the amount of plaque that's there. If I don't have plaque and you don't have plaque, we're not going to get gum disease.
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to. What you do at home, it's that 2 to 3 minutes in the morning and at night, but especially at night, that makes all the difference. Mm. That's the take-home message for everyone on this oral health world day. Yeah, well, days that, you know, please brush. I mean, if you start there, and then when you get really good at it, or get an electric toothbrush, and then start thinking about, okay, what about the little surfaces in between the teeth? Can I use floss? I've got gaps now. I can actually use, there's little brushes in here, like little bottle brushes called Pixters. You can actually brush between your teeth. And that might be easier for people rather than using floss. You can't do it if you're younger. I mean, if you're getting a little bit, you know, if you're above sort of 40, you're probably going to be able to use little brushes between your teeth. Trust me, I can. So I'm thinking that most people can. Before that, it's probably flossing, and then after that, you may be little brushes, maybe brushes, floss, whatever. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to maintain yourself. I mean, the older you get, it seems to spend more time in the bathroom trying to either get going in the morning or finish the day. So it is what it is, people. It is an endless struggle.
Yes,
yeah. But it's a worthwhile struggle because I think that there is, your quality of life is really affected by your teeth.
Mm.
There is a direct correlation as well between longevity and actually the maintenance of teeth. So if we look at the world population, I mean, there's been plenty of studies done that show that, you know, people who have teeth and keep most of their teeth will live longer.
Yeah, that's interesting because you're talking about other things become the priority, but shows that healthy teeth, healthy life.
Oh, absolutely. But look, and there is a correlation between heart disease and gum disease. Mm. So the bacteria that you get in with gingivitis and gum disease are the same bacteria that will actually infect your heart and your heart muscle.
Mm.
So, I mean, now it's become, I think it's sort of, there's a greater focus on that in dentistry, saying, well, we've sort of ignored gum disease a little bit. I mean, it's a slow progressing thing. It's like, yeah, getting old and, you know, so long in the tooth, that's kind of normal. And now we're finding that, oh, actually, it's not really normal. Mm. It's not something, it is something that we can really affect. We can change. And so if you have bleeding gums and, you know, you need to address that. It is something that is affecting your general health as well, and you may not realize it. So we're getting older as a population. We're getting a bit fatter. We're living nicely. But it also means that we have got more heart disease, and the heart disease also has a direct correlation with gum disease. So if you try to get, you know, limit the gum disease, that's something you can do very easily. I mean, you don't have to go on a treadmill. You just got to get a toothbrush. And so that's the easiest thing you can do. Mm. And I can't say it enough. Spend that time with your toothbrush in hand at night.
Well, great advice for Oral Health Week. You've given us all a bit of a wake-up call.
Sorry.
appreciate you coming in today to remind us of all of those things that are very important. Now, you've got some dental practices all around the Gold Coast.
Yeah. So, look, it's Coastal Dental Care is really a group of practices, and we're all sort of independent practices working together under the same banner, I guess. There's a big push in dentistry towards corporate dentistry. I mean, but we're sort of trying to stay independent and actually sort of be owner operators and I guess provide a great service for the community. Mm. So, you know, we've all local and involved in the communities of sporting teams and clubs, etc. And I love the Gold Coast. I grew up here. My kids are, you know, uni in Brisbane, but I'm hoping they're all going to come back. Mm. And we're very lucky. We're very lucky here.
Well, thanks again for coming in today. I know you're very busy,
Steve.
But Frank Page is from Coastal Dental Care. They're a sponsor of 4CRB, so look them up. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, Steve.